We are not on a theme anymore officially because we decided in our monthly planning meeting that that we want to discontinue the themes, and that so that we as teachers just choose whatever is kind of up for us, alive for us to teach about. And but that being said, I didn't finish the last theme, so I wanted to finish what I started. We were still on the Noble Eightfold Path, and I think Carolina finished her series on it. but I'm still on a wise mindfulness or right mindfulness, which is the 7th out of 8 path vectors. And so today I want to continue that. And I was I started with the 4th foundation of mindfulness. There are 4 foundations, and I explained that in other talks, so I won't go into that. The most important thing is that in the 4th foundation, there are several lists that the Buddha mentions, and I picked out one of those lists to talk about as a part of the 4th foundation of mindfulness, which is the list on the 7 factors of awakening. And so the first 2 times that I talked about, this is already the 3rd time, I looked at mindfulness, investigation, energy, joy, and tranquility. Those are the first 5 factors of awakening. And this week I want to continue with concentration and tranquility. And so last time when I, sorry, concentration, equanimity, tranquility already, spoke about. And this tranquility is actually this calm that can naturally arise out of practice. It's not something we can force. And in the same way, concentration can naturally arise out of tranquility. So in a way, these 7 factors are a progression. In other ways, they are also intertwined and feeding on each other. But from tranquility, concentration naturally arises. And so there can be a natural unfolding of concentration in our practice, and we can also practice it. So it can be trained or practiced. Well, tranquility you cannot train or practice. It just needs to arise out of practice. And so concentration is this unified calmness of the mind, and sometimes called collectedness. So the Pali word is samadhi, and sometimes when it gets translated as concentration, it can feel a little bit like we have to be very forceful and trying and doing. But actually, what's more helpful for concentration to arise is relaxation and ease and a receptive attitude. And so one way to cultivate concentration is to pay attention to one thing. And so this could be like the breath, can be very supportive. Sometimes for people, the breath doesn't really work because of like issues with the lungs, like asthma or some other physical or psychological trauma perhaps. So sometimes you can use something else, like metta practice, loving kindness practice can be a concentration practice. Same with the other Brahma Viharas. And so there are different ways to go about concentration and building up concentration. And often in daily life, it's a little harder to cultivate a deeper concentration, but we can certainly, even daily life, have a certain degree of concentration present. And so we could see concentration as kind of a scale, like we're completely scattered and not very concentrated to very deep states of concentration. And in our daily lives, on that scale, we can be somewhere on that scale. We're probably not going to be like in jhana. I think Dr. Carolyn talked about jhana, which is very deep concentration states. But we can have a certain amount of collectedness of mind, even in daily life. And so we really need the first factor of awakening for concentration, which is mindfulness. Mindfulness is the basis for concentration, because with mindfulness we are aware of the breath. With mindfulness we are aware of the metta phrases and the feeling of metta, or we are aware of moment to moment things arising and passing. So mindfulness is the basis for concentration, and they can't really be seen separately in a way. And so there is a way that we can be concentrated or can cultivate concentration that's called moment-to-moment concentration, and that's basically what Vipassana is about. That you pay attention to this moment, and then this moment, and then this moment, and by paying attention to it, even though the object changes all the time, so one moment it's a sound, and another moment it's a thought, and then it's a body sensation, but by paying attention to the attention is what, and the mindfulness is what is still there moment to moment, and that's what constitutes the concentration then. And so in that way it is applicable to daily life, since we in our daily life activities we can be aware moment to moment. That is something we can practice. It's, I mean, if we start off with that, it's not always easy. It's quite a training to do that. But it is possible, and it's also, I really recommend being aware in daily life like that. Like the moment you get out of bed, notice that. The moment you brush your teeth, notice that. The moment you drive to work, notice that. The moment you're writing an email, and the whole day like that. You can be aware. Try to train awareness of the body in those situations, trying to be aware of the mind in those situations. And so that's a little bit about concentration. And it's interesting because it's one of the awakening factors, but it's also the last path factor. So I might be talking about it a bit more in depth the next time I'm teaching here. And so then we get to the last factor of awakening, which is equanimity, upekkha in Pali. And so from concentration, this real balance of mind can come about, which is equanimity. And it's one of the highest states, maybe the highest states we can experience, that is closest to awakening. Closest to, it's called Nibbana in Pali. And so it's often found at the end of lists. So at the end of the awakening factors, at the end of the Brahma Viharas, at the end of the paramis. And so it's because it's such a deep state of heart mind. And so when we are equanimous, we are not so much pushed around by craving and aversion anymore. And it's kind of staying in the middle. It's also the term upekkha literally means there in the middleness. So it's kind of being in the eye of the storm, basically. And so being really okay with whatever arises, whether we like it or don't like it, whether it's pleasant or unpleasant or neutral. And just as with tranquility, equanimity is a little bit harder to make happen. Like with concentration, we can kind of practice it. And so in a way, it's a state of mind that naturally arises when we practice. But there's also a way that we can practice it. And so often it's said that the awakening factor of equanimity is something different than the Brahma Vihara equanimity. But I think that in the beginning of our practice, or the beginning up through like very deep states, the beginning and the middle and towards the end, it's very useful to use the Brahma Vihara equanimity to cultivate equanimity more actively. So in that sense, so the Brahma Vihara is, you can cultivate that. But the actual, like a deeper sense of equanimity that arises out of practice is not something we can force or make happen. It's something that needs to arise out of practice. It's a natural result of practice. And so some of the differences are, for example, that the focus of upekkha or equanimity as a Brahmavihara is that there is this equanimity towards all beings. Well, if it's an awakening factor, then it's equanimity towards all experience. So upekkha as a Brahmavihara has compassion and an understanding of kamma as kind of a foundation, while upekkha as a factor of awakening has deep wisdom and non-attachment as the foundation. And so the result of upekkha as a Brahmavihara would be that there's this harmonious relationship with all beings, while the result of the awakening factor of equanimity is dispassion and cessation and nibbana. So basically awakening when the awakening factor of equanimity is present, then you're really close to awakening, basically. And so, but like I said in the beginning, that distinction might not be super important because they're really close. And so if you start to develop equanimity as a Brahmavihara, it can be super supportive also to develop equanimity just as a general practice. And so the letting go, letting go of push things away or to try to pull certain things towards us, the letting go of that is kind of the key aspect of developing equanimity. So as soon as we see this push and pull, we know that this is not equanimity, basically. And it's not so that, like I said, we can't force equanimity, then let me be equanimous with this. That usually doesn't work. And so what we need to do is be present for the push and pull and to start to learn from it and grow the experience. And that's one of the lessons of this teacher, Sayadaw Utejaniya, that the day long and the August retreat are about, is that every time we see the push and pull, it's a moment that wisdom can learn from. And if we see it in that way, if we have this intention for wisdom to grow and learn from every experience, all the push and pull, then these push and pulls don't become a problem anymore. They are actually the ground from which the lotus flower grows. They are the mud from which the lotus flower grows. And we see that we actually need to see it. We see that that's necessary on our path and that's helpful. So it's really helpful to see it in that way so that it's not a problem anymore, but it's just a way to grow and to develop this beautiful lotus flower that we all have inside of us. So. And so these are the seven factors of awakening. I will call them, say them again: mindfulness, investigation, energy, joy, tranquility, concentration, and equanimity. And it's kind of a way, like the Buddha has all these little lists or big lists, and these are all ways of framing practice or framing an aspect of practice. And so this is also a way of framing the practice, and it's especially geared towards awakening. That's why they're called awakening factors. And there are so many different frameworks that the Buddha has offered that we can use, like the Eightfold Path itself and the Four Noble Truths and the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, etc. And so if we choose, we can, you know, use this as a practice for a while. And it can be a really beneficial way of practicing. So the first way that we could practice with the seven factors of awakening is to start with cultivating mindfulness, which we're all already doing, so it's not that hard. And then simply recognizing, are the awakening factors present or absent? So we can already see, okay, mindfulness is present, and as soon as it's absent and we know it's absent, it's present again. So then it's present again when we, every time we notice that. Is there some joy? Perhaps, like I said in my talk on that one, there can be this very subtle joy of being in the present moment. So perhaps we can notice there's a subtle joy of just being present. Or there can be maybe a natural investigation happening, like, oh, this is interesting. I'm curious about this experience. And then we notice, oh, wait, this is the awakening factor of investigation. And so in this way, we can start to see that they are present or that they're absent. Like, for example, when we're all tied up in knots, we might be so overwhelmed with the knot that we might not have any inclination to do an investigation. We just want to get rid of it, you know. And so we can notice, oh, there's no interest in investigating right now. And then the tranquility and equanimity are a bit less easy to cultivate, like I said. But still, we can see, are they emergent, are they emerging or not? And concentration, we can perhaps, you know, really cultivate, really feel like, oh, I really want to cultivate some concentration. It's really something that's interesting for the mind right now. And then we can use the breath or some other practice to cultivate concentration. And so in this way, we can bring in the factors of awakening into our practice, whether it's through just recognizing them or actively practicing them. And if you're not sure where to start, then you can always start with mindfulness. That's always good. That's actually literally what the Buddha says. Mindfulness is always useful, so he said. And so I want to end with a quote from the Buddha, from the Dhammapada. Those whose minds have reached full excellence in the factors of awakening, who, having renounced grasping, rejoice in not clinging to things, rid of cankers, glowing with wisdom, they have attained awakening in this very life.